Hey, good morning, you guys. The spotlight on Maryland this morning is on Al-Anon Family Groups of Maryland and D.C. And joining me this morning, it is Gina Crash. I'd like to welcome Rita O, who is the Public Outreach Coordinator. Good morning, Rita. How you doing?
Good morning, Gina. I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's okay. I call you Rita, not Rita O, right?
It's fine.
And given the nature of Al-Anon, we're going to be referring to you as that for, just for confidentiality, right?
Correct.
So, although it does sound like a fancy name, you might be like a pop singer or something like that. Rita O, right? So, how long have you been doing what you do? And maybe tell us what that is exactly. What is your role as public outreach coordinator? What does that entail?
Well, as public outreach coordinator for Al-Anon Family Groups, I try to spread the message that Al-Anon is here to help families and friends of alcoholics and addicts. And that entails all kinds of things, from just getting our information into local directories, into PSAs on radio and television.
Much like what you're doing this morning.
Exactly what I'm doing here this morning. Posters. In fact, we have a big campaign coming up in September, which is National Recovery Month, where we'll have posters in all the city buses and the MARC trains.
Wonderful.
Throughout Maryland. And so anything I can do to, you know, we're about attraction, not promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So with that is just letting people know who we are, what we are, and how to reach us.
And you also brought up a good point, too, that it's not only alcohol, but it's also drugs.
Correct.
Right? It entails both, in case someone doesn't know that. And how long have you been there in your current role? Are we there longer in a different role?
Right. I've been there. I am a member, and I've been there, about 10 years now.
That's great.
And I got involved in service about 6 or 7 years ago, first doing kind of health fairs, you know, where we would set up a literature table at different events. And then I guess it's been about 2 years ago now, I stood for public outreach and they immediately pushed me in there.
Oh,
and,
good, good.
We call it voluntold instead of volunteer. You're voluntold. But these are all volunteer positions. We all do it out of the goodness of our heart because we believe in the program and we want to spread the message and get help to people out there.
So you did have sort of a personal connection then to Al-Anon?
Correct. Yeah. I had family members who, not only with alcohol, but with drugs. And that's what kind of got me in the rooms to begin with.
And that helps, people that are talking to you to get help can relate to you on that level in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here because we all have that common problem and we can all share our experience. So,
in fact, without saying any names, we actually ran into a coworker in the hallway who said she was very familiar with their work.
Yeah.
And yep. And had been to meetings and things for so that honestly, as it being so confidential, you really don't know who might be, you know, seeking the help of Al-Anon. We'll talk about that anonymity a little bit more later in the program, but that's so important and so cool to know that people have that bond
exactly
privately like that. So what exactly, for someone who's not familiar with Al-Anon Family Groups, and of course we're talking more about Maryland and D.C. and the public outreach, but in general, what is Al-Anon Family Groups?
Well, Al-Anon Family Groups is a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other in order to solve their common problems. And we believe that alcoholism is a family disease, and that changed attitudes can really aid recovery.
So when did Al-Anon start and why, for a little bit of the history and the backstory there?
Al-Anon Family Groups was founded by Lois W., who is the wife of Bill W., the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was founded in 1951. Lois started the family groups because she knew that the members needed support and their own program of recovery to improve relationships. Today, Al-Anon and Al-Ateen is a worldwide fellowship. We have 26,000 groups, over 400,000 members in 130 different countries. And in fact, right here in Baltimore, our first meeting was held 61 years ago in Parkville, and that is still active today.
That is amazing.
Wow. It is.
Have you noticed a change? Like how many years have you been there again in one way or another? 10 years, you said?
Yeah, about.
Yeah. So have you noticed like an increased need? Have those numbers that we just heard gone up significantly? Or are there still some people, of course, that haven't sought help? But in your experience, has it been a growing number, a growing need?
It is definitely a growing number. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because just in the recovery world, they're finding that it does take the whole village.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get the family members into recovery and help, the entire situation improves. So, yeah, it is definitely a growing number. Percentage-wise, I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
But we see it here. And you see an uptick around the holidays, usually.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
You know, where things kind of get unmanageable, and we'll see a lot more newcomers coming into the rooms. And that's what we're here for, is mm-hmm. to help that person person when they first walk in that room.
And what is Al-Anon's purpose?
Well, again, it has one really primary purpose, and that's to help the families and friends of alcoholics. And we help them to find hope, and we encourage them to live really joyful and serene lives. Al-Anon is non-professional. We don't counsel or advise our members, nor do we endorse or affiliate with other agencies or organizations. It really is a member-to-member fellowship.
And how does somebody know if Al-Anon is right for them? That's a big question. But
it is. Well, those of us who have lived with active alcoholism and substance abuse disorder have probably tried all kinds of self-defeating tactics to get our loved ones to stop drinking or using. Our lives become unmanageable as we try to control the situation. We say and do things out of anger and fear and frustration, not really understanding that our actions and our behaviors and attitudes can make matters worse and usually prolong the problem. Family members, regardless of age, usually blame themselves for the turmoil in their lives, often making excuses for problems while unaware of how the disease affects them. We at Al-Anon know that alcoholism is a family disease which affects all members of the household, either physically, emotionally, or both. One out of every six people are dealing with a loved one who is suffering from the disease. Our thinking becomes distorted, and we try to force solutions. We become irritable and unreasonable without even knowing it.
Right.
We are lonely and frustrated, but in Al-Anon, we discover that no situation is hopeless and that it is possible for us to find contentment and even happiness. The Al-Anon recent survey reflects that 50% of our current members come to Al-Anon because of a friend or relative substance abuse problem.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, 65% are there because of their child's substance abuse.
Wow.
That number is definitely growing.
For sure.
We
see and hear that a lot in the news as well in our community and beyond. Yep, for sure.
So, you know, you have to really ask yourself if you have exhausted all your possibilities and you still feel that desperation associated with living with active alcoholism or drug addiction in the home, then Al-Anon family groups might be for you.
Well, why do family members need to go through a program of recovery, and how does that differ from AA's program?
That's usually a good question that a lot of people ask.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They think they have the problem, it's not me.
Right.
But the biggest difference is Al-Anon is for us, not the alcoholic. We do not come to get the alcoholic sober, even though most people initially believe that is the solution to all their problems.
Mm-hmm.
We come because we want the family situation to improve, and we need to work on ourselves. The 12 steps, which are adapted from AA, are our guide to a better life. By practicing the 12 steps, along with our meetings, our literature, and slogans, we give comfort to families and understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. Members share their experience, strength, and hope to help each other. It's a mutual support group, not group therapy, as I said. Members have firsthand knowledge of the problems because they have them too. We quickly learn, and this is key, about what we call the three C's, which really becomes a great relief to all of us. And the three C's are: we didn't cause it, we can't control it, and we can't cure it. But we can, and we have learned through Al-Anon, that we can contribute to the problem with our own behavior and attitudes. By working the 12 steps, we learn to change and heal from the effects of living with the disease. Three C's.
We didn't cause it, we can't control it, we can't cure it.
Yep. But we can contribute to it.
Mm-hmm. Important.
That's like the little fourth Al-Anon C.
Right, that's the good C, right?
That's our C.
That's our positive C, your C, exactly.
Right.
And we mentioned briefly at the start of the program about Al-Ateen, but some folks might not know the difference between Al-Anon and Al-Ateen. I think that's an important point. As you mentioned, the numbers are growing in that age group, for sure.
Sure. Al-Ateen is for young people between the ages of 9 and 19 who also have been affected by the disease. Many children are profoundly affected. They experience many of the same feelings that adults do, including a sense of loss, confusion, and guilt. Al-Ateen meetings provide a safe place for teens to share their problems, their fears, worries, and learn about the disease and the Al-Anon program. This helps their own personal development and can help stabilize troubled thinking resulting from close association with an alcoholic. They quickly learn that they did not cause the problem, and they don't have to hide the family secret within the rooms of Al-Ateen. The meetings are closed, and only the teens and two adult sponsors attend. The Al-Ateen sponsors help to guide the meetings and keep the focus on the program of recovery. Al-Ateen sponsors must be trained, certified, and they pass a vigorous background check. The safety and well-being of the Alateens is the top priority for Al-Anon family groups.
And not to jump off the script a little bit, but if how long is that training? And if that's some, if somebody's listening to this program that wants to help in that way, how difficult is it, or how easy is it to get started in that kind of role?
It's not difficult at all. There's a day or two of training that's involved, and then of course the background check, and then you've kind of mentor with another Alateen sponsor and in the meetings with the teens.
They're not going to throw you in there without the background that you need, right?
Right. Well, the Alateen sponsors are really there to guide. The Alateens themselves run their own meetings.
Gotcha.
We're there, that the sponsors are there just to make sure that it's a safe environment and that it stays on the, you know, the topic of the program and sticks to the approved literature and things like that. Yeah, so there are about 14 Alateen meetings weekly in Maryland and D.C. And in some situations, there's concurrent Al-Anon and AA meetings, so the whole family can do a night of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And we really suggest that you give the gift of Alateen to your child or grandchild and encourage them to attend a meeting. The younger they start in the program, the better their lives are going to be.
How do Al-Anon members learn to detach? That's a good question.
Yep, detachment. At first, detachment may sound cold and rejecting and not loving at all.
Right.
It does not mean abandoning others. It means that we keep the focus on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Detachment seems like a difficult concept when, in fact, we learn that with practice, it becomes a very valuable tool in our recovery. Detachment is not caring less. It's caring more for our own serenity. It is emotionally separating ourselves from the disease of alcoholism and substance abuse. It's self-preservation for those of us who do care. Mm-hmm. We separate the disease from the person we love without losing compassion for them.
That's really important.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes it's more loving to allow someone else to experience the natural consequences of their actions, even when it is painful for the both of us. We detach when we stop enabling, when we stop doing for them what they can and should be doing for themselves, and by giving them the dignity to grow and to change.
Very well said.
Yeah, thanks. Well, it's the truth. Detachment really goes hand in hand with setting boundaries and learning to forgive. Learning to detach often begins by learning to take a moment before reacting to the alcoholic behavior. In that moment, we can ask ourselves, is this behavior coming from the person or the disease? This distinction makes us better able to emotionally distance ourselves from the behavior. We can remember that alcoholics often surround themselves with crisis, chaos, and fear and pain. We do not need to play a part in that turmoil. It's more important to remember that establishing personal boundaries, it's not the same thing as building walls. Our goal is to heal ourselves and our relationships with other human beings, not to coldly distance ourselves, especially from the people who matter the most to us. In fact, detachment is far more compassionate and respectful than the unfeeling distancing or the compulsive involvement many of us have practiced in the past. For when we detach with love, we accept others exactly as they are. I heard it explained once as becoming a loving witness, and that helps to remind me of our slogan, which is live and let live.
And do people find that difficult at first, the detachment? Does that get easier as you try to do that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the concept of detachment is misunderstood.
Right.
Because some people do feel that it is just totally separating yourselves from your loved one that has the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case at all. So it kind of gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
And it does become easier. It becomes a natural part of your interacting with your loved one to know what's yours and what's theirs and when to get involved and when not to get involved.
Are people hesitant to come to Al-Anon or Alateen?
Yeah. And there have been several reasons. I guess the biggest is there's still a stigma attached to the disease of alcoholism and drug addiction. People are afraid that someone might find out that there is a problem in the home. The family also becomes really entrenched in the disease, and denial and isolation can become a way of life. And that makes reaching out for help, you know, extremely difficult. People also feel that admitting there is a problem and getting help for themselves means that they are not being loyal to their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they have their program of recovery and we have our program of recovery. And because the two things are happening simultaneously, the situation improves for everybody.
I guess you definitely need to admit you need help, but is it almost like you have fear of like a failure, like I should be able to handle this myself and I can't, and
Absolutely. I mean, especially I can say from a parent standpoint, you know, when you feel that you're responsible for your child, that makes it even more and more difficult because you feel like you have caused it in some way.
Yeah.
That you know, you had some kind of failing or it's a moral failing, and it's none of those things.
Right. And what is that? We mentioned a lot this morning about anonymity and the importance and the purpose of that. So what is the purpose of anonymity in the program?
Well, it's a very important principle of the Al-Anon and Alateen program. Everything that is said in a group meeting or who you see really must be kept in confidence. Mm-hmm. That way we're free to say what's in our minds and hearts, and that's really how we help each other. In Al-Anon, we often say, whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. And that makes it a safe place for you to really come and open up. To others who can help you.
Is that harder in today's like social media world? And we'll talk about how we can find you on social media and the good aspects of social media by getting information out there and whatnot and how people can get help. Maybe that's their first, you know, experience with Al-Anon and Alateen would be online. But with everyone needing to sort of share everything these days, is that harder to do now, do you think? Or is there a way that you can help them
do that? I think what's happened, and there has been a shift, definitely, since 1951 to today.
Right, right.
Where, you know, it was kind of like the closed basement rooms of churches and, you know, town halls, where because we're trying to get the epidemic of, you know, addiction and alcoholism out into the public eye and remove that stigma from it, that you'll find more and more members being a little more open about the fact that they are a member. But it is one of our traditions and our principles that we do not share our last name in public, and especially in my capacity as public outreach coordinator.
Right, right. Even in that role, it's still important.
But person to person, family member or friend or to coworker, you have the autonomy to choose whether you want to disclose if you're an Al-Anon member or not.
Okay.
So when you see somebody that's struggling and you know you can help them or that Al-Anon may be able to help them, you know, making that suggestion is very well called for, you know, especially if it's going to help.
And is it a lot of word of mouth, too, that people that have maybe have experience with it know how to recommend it then after that? Or
lot of it is. Another big part, and I think it's like something like 60-some percent of people get referred to by their therapist.
Oh, that's good.
Some people get referred in if their loved one is in a treatment program. The treatment program or the counselors there may suggest that they, too, go to Al-Anon. Some treatments or centers have actual family programs and Al-Anon meetings within their program. But yeah, I would say it's usually kind of one-on-one or somebody who is, you know, desperate enough and goes online and, you know, starts typing in a Google search and up pops Al-Anon.
That works too.
Yep.
And what can people expect when they attend their first meeting? Maybe we can help them with any kind of reservation they might have.
Absolutely. Because it is a little scary when you first walk through the doors and you don't know anybody and you don't know what's going to happen. And usually most newcomers arrive at their first meetings feeling physically and mentally exhausted. They're filled with an overwhelming sense of shame, of guilt, and fear. But that's quickly dispelled as they hear the message of hope and see that serenity and recovery are possible. Each meeting has its own kind of flavor. Some meetings are discussions with a speaker who delivers a topic. Some are book or step meetings that use our conference-approved literature. Others are specific newcomer meetings that focus on the first three steps. After the speaker or the reader finishes, the meeting is open to anyone who wishes to share. As a newcomer, you'll be asked to identify yourself by your first name only, and you will be given the option to share at the end of the meeting if you wish to do so, but you are under no obligation. You'll be offered a newcomer's packet and other literature to help educate yourself about the disease and our program. There are about 250 meetings weekly throughout Maryland and D.C. Generally, they last for about an hour. We encourage newcomers to attend at least six meetings to see if Al-Anon is right for them. There are no fees or dues, but donations are accepted.
That's important.
I mean, we really literally do all of this on $1 or $2 in the basket.
And you're all volunteers, yep.
Exactly. Most of all, what you'll find is a lot of members who are smiling, laughing, and welcoming to you at your first meeting and who encourage you to keep coming back.
And that's important to know, too, that you should attend at least six meetings before you rule it out or say, oh, this isn't for me, or, you know.
Exactly, because each one of them kind of has a different feel.
Like you
say.
So
you may walk into one and not feel comfortable there, and then you try another one and you're like, oh my God, I just found my home.
Right, right. You know? Yeah. Like you said, different flavor was a good way to put it. And I saw that Al-Anon and Alateen have moved into the digital world, as we were talking about. So how does a virtual meeting work there? And that is a thing, isn't it? That's cool.
It is. And this has grown in the recent years. But virtual meetings are a great resource when there's really no face-to-face meetings in your area. These meetings are especially important for those who live in rural areas mm-hmm. or those who have no means of transportation.
Right.
The best part is most are offered 24/7, and you have access and can interact with a large group of members from all over the world. There are several types of meetings offered now, online meetings, phone meetings, email meetings, and Skype meetings.
Oh, wow. And they're all equally as effective. It's just more about accessibility and your time frame. And rather than miss one, you can have a different type of meeting.
Right, right. I mean, I take part in the email meetings and, you know, they'll put a topic out on Sunday and people will just start sharing within that group. So they're groups that you have to join.
Yeah.
And, you know, they help fill in the gaps when you can't get to a meeting. Mm-hmm. They're also good when you're awake at 11 o'clock at night worrying about something.
Yeah. You know? There's somewhere to go, right? Because your meeting's not until Tuesday, you know, you don't have to stress right. for that time. You can find those sources online, again, by phone, email, or Skype meetings.
Right. As well as, you know, talking member to member and sharing phone numbers with other members in the fellowship. But on the Alateen side, if there aren't any Alateen face-to-face meetings in your area, the Alateens can participate in an Al-Anon group, but there are also Alateen chat meetings,
oh,
which
that's
are online.
Cool.
And those chat meetings are moderated as well. The teens can only chat when the adult Alateen sponsors are present and online with them. So again, the safety of the Alateens and keeping the focus on recovery is important.
And the fact that you encourage donations and are volunteer-based, I'm sure that you need fundraising, special events and things. So do you have any of those upcoming special events that people can help you out with?
Well, I mean, our special events are really not so much fundraisers, more of an awareness to
gotcha.
Get people out there and to help people grow in the program. And we do have a couple special events that happen annually. We have two conventions. Our 43rd annual spring convention is actually this weekend, June 7th through 9th, in Chestertown at the Washington College.
Sure.
And you can go for the entire weekend or you can go for just one day. We also have in the fall our 29th annual fall convention, and that's the weekend of November 15th through 17th. And that's being held at the Delta Hotel in Hunt Valley, Maryland. More information will be posted about that. We also host a bunch of various workshops, luncheons. Like I said, Baltimore here, the first meeting was, you know, it's been 61 years. We just celebrated, we call it our birthday luncheon because it's Lois W's birthday, so that's held in April every year.
That's cool.
And kind of celebrating her and celebrating the program. And again, you know, our Al-Anon awareness campaign, which is all the posters that are going on the buses and MARC trains statewide in September for National Recovery Month, that'll dovetail with a new PSA, two new PSAs that are coming out of our World Service office. So again, just trying to build that awareness that we're here if you need us.
And speaking of online, the website, we can't say it enough. Where can people go in general or online to find a meeting near them or schedule a virtual meeting? Where do they go in Baltimore and then worldwide and that
right.
sort of thing?
Well, in Baltimore, here locally, our Baltimore Area Information Service, that website is www.alanon-maryland.org. Or you can call our 24-hour phone service, which is 410-832-7094. Again, that's 410-832-7094. That'll give you a lot of our local events here. Mm-hmm. The Worldwide Service Office, their website is www.alanon.org, and their phone number is 888-425-2666. That's where you can go and schedule the virtual meetings. Also, they have a great search engine for meetings all over the world.
Oh, that's a
great
resource.
So if you're traveling, you know, if you're at the beach or you're out of the country, you can actually search for a meeting there locally. And it really is fabulous
That's
to go
great.
To a meeting outside of your area.
What a nice resource. Now, here's a sort of a question about spelling. Is there an Al dash? Is there a dash in Al-Anon when you're going online? Or is it all spelled out? Or do they both work?
Both work.
Okay, gotcha.
They both work. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I was hoping that was the answer, but just in case.
Formally, it is Al, A-L dash A-L-A-N-O-N, but right. Al-Anon will get you there as well, alanon.org.
You generally see the Al-Anon in print, right?
Exactly.
And then, but just in spoken word, you might just say Al-Anon, and then right. you can also follow you on social media as well. Where can we find you on that?
Sure. Locally, Facebook page is Baltimore AIS, which stands for Baltimore Area Information Service, mm-hmm. As well as the worldwide service office has, they are on, as alanon.org, they're on Facebook, they're on Instagram, and they're on Twitter. And they constantly put out messages every day.
Well, we'll be sure and post on social media a note about how people can, you know, and a link to listen to this in case they're catching this halfway through or something like that, or didn't know that we were talking this morning. We'll make sure we spread that globally as well, since you
Absolutely.
Are worldwide. And we're actually out of time, believe it or not. I don't know how that flew by so quickly, but is there anything else you want to add or that we want to, or we can just wrap up and tell everybody
well,
who we've been talking to?
Yeah, I mean, I thank you for having me here today.
Well, thank you for being here.
You know, being a great community partner and helping to spread this message, because the families equally need the help, as well as the addict or alcoholic. And by working together, the results are so much better, you know, for
yeah,
everybody concerned.
Absolutely. So, well, it's our, you know, least we can do, and we appreciate all the work you do every day. We've been listening to Rita O. She's the public outreach coordinator for Al-Anon Family Groups of Maryland and D.C., part of the Al-Anon family. It's great to have you here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Rita. You
all
guys,
right.
If you want to reach out to me on social media, I'm on all the platforms at Gina Crash. We want to thank you for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.